WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It is Tuesday, May 3rd. Hi, everyone. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and we're here to review some of the stories of the day, talk about a number of different issues happening here on the North Shore. And we always invite your input onto this program by emailing us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And also, please follow us on Twitter at msonewsports, msonewsports. We keep you updated on news and sports. And if anything else as big is happening in the greater Boston area, sometimes we'll retweet some of that stuff for you. So anyways, well, here we are, Rick, and it is Tuesday, and a lot of rainouts yesterday in the sports scene, but let's get right to some of the news stories. Looking at in Peabody, for example, they've announced here city officials expect to launch a search for a new school superintendent sometime in the fall. That's when they're going to begin their search. So that means that interim superintendent Herb Levine, who is, I think he's on his fourth tenure over at Peabody. No, it's probably just his second. Maybe your third. I'm not quite sure. But he'll be staying on for another year. So this search is going on for a while. But that's the very latest in the Peabody superintendent search. I was amazed, Rick, a month or so ago, how fast Saugus advertised and hired a superintendent. They have an acting one now for this year. But it takes some time. But anyways, Peabody will hold off for probably at the end of the year here. But the search will start.
Yeah, some of these searches are difficult, and some of these hirings have been difficult in the area lately. I was talking to a retired superintendent who's now a consultant, and that particular person had some insight into some of these that I can't really relate, but things are settling down now, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a tough job, pressure job. There's no doubt about it. What's happening up in the Cape Ann area, Richard?
Hey, interesting story in the Times today, Bill. The state found a pair of campaign. I'm reading from Ray Lamont now in the Gloucester Times. The state found a pair of campaign spending and reporting violations on the part of the committee to elect Safathia Romeo-Taken during her successful run last fall to become Gloucester's mayor. The state's letter of resolution sent to the campaign through Romeo-Taken's home address says there will be no sanctions because the problems have been remedied. And the mayor said Monday she has taken additional steps to ensure there won't be any repeat violations when she runs for re-election in the fall of 2017. And buried in the article, if I can find it, is the fact that the mayor said she has hired Daniel Snyder and company as an accounting firm for her next mayoral run. So, yes, I am going to be running again. I'm saying that right now. So Mayor Romeo-Taken has already announced that she's running for re-election with our local municipal elections still a year away.
Yeah, so they would be in November of 2017, right? Is that sound
yep,
right?
Yeah,
yep. Right.
Yep. So she wants people to know that she's running again. So there you go.
Well, that'll keep Rick Moore out of that race for a while. If she sends the message out that she's running for re-election, Rick Moore will not get in. He'd be a fool to get into that race, right?
That may keep a lot of people out. Mayor Romeo-Taken, very, very popular in this city, and she has a history of hard work for so many people. That may keep a lot of people out of running for mayor in the city of Gloucester. You betcha. And I was just going to say one more thing, Bill. The Gloucester City Council did raise fees for beach parking, not for the locals, however, but they went up from $5 a day to about $10 a day in most parking areas for the beaches for out-of-towners. The daily fees, let's see, for a passenger car, it's up to $15 now at Good Harbor Beach and Wingersheek Beach, and it'll be $20 on a weekend. That's for a passenger car. And so each particular category went up about $5. And one more thing, Bill.
Whoa, hold on, Rick. I mean, those prices are so steep. They're going to have to take credit cards now at those ticket windows, I think. Don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you, for a van, it's $30 for a weekday and $35 for a weekend.
For a van?
Yes, $30.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So, the tongue-in-cheek humor there is certainly appropriate. But you're right. You know what? You can pay now by phone. You can pay, I don't know, carrier pigeon, whatever. I'm sure they'll take the money.
Yeah, exactly. So they should have these little handheld credit card things that the the kids at the Apple store have, right? And in other places as well.
But probably, yeah.
Yeah, you want to buy an Apple computer? No problem. I'm right here. I can take your credit card. You don't even have to take another half step. I got your money.
Just watch out who you give your number to. That's all I can say with my credit card being hacked a month ago. Anyway, one other quick note, Bill, is Chief Lenny Campanello has received another honor. This one is local. Gloucester Police Chief Campanello was in Gloucester District Court on Monday to be honored by the Gloucester Bar Association as it celebrated Law Day, and Campanello received a citation from the Association President Robert Condon that read, "In appreciation of your outstanding contributions and meritorious accomplishments to the ideals of liberty, equality, and justice under the law. Also for keeping your innovative work, at keeping all citizens safe by creating and implementing the ANGEL program." And as we all know, Chief Campanello was honored last week as a champion for change for his work on the ANGEL program at the White House. So not at the White House, but by the White House. So Chief Campanello with another honor. This time it's local. And the chief is always accepting the award on behalf of the police department and the city. He is quick to point out that this is something that the city is doing and that the city, you know, wants, and he is just carrying it out as an instrument of change. So nice to see that good work is going rewarded.
I got you. I'm just looking around here for some other stories. I got the front page of the item here today, and let me just see here. They've they have a forum. Mayor Brian Arrigo will be hosting 6 community forums this year for residents to ask questions and discuss city services and quality of life. The first one is going to be tonight from 6 to 8 at the Beachmont School Auditorium. So checking that out. And there's also a story today in the item, front page of the item, on the a one-year term on the school committee hasn't discouraged candidates to run for an open seat there. Jennifer Schaffner, and Michael Raffi Spiwak are vying to complete the unexpired term of former committee member Michael Murphy, who stepped down last fall. The winner will face a re-election next year. So those are happening, and town meetings are happening as well, and those kinds of things, and in certain areas. So those are some of the news stories. Rick, anything else local up in the Cape Ann area?
Yeah, Rockport is having its town election today, Tuesday, May 3. Polls are open until 8 p.m. at the Community House, 58 Broadway, for Precincts 1 and 3, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, 24 Broadway, for Precinct 2. Broadway will be one way to Cleve Street on Tuesday today. So Rockport holding its town elections. And I think that is it, except I did want to mention there's an article with a very, hot headline. I don't know how else. Maybe it's even a misleading headline from Washington Reporter. And the headline says, "Senators rip plan to keep guns from mentally ill." And it says that because veterans, if they are required to have someone else take care of their finances, then they are not allowed to own a handgun, a weapon, by the Department of Veterans Affairs. And so that's what the article is really about. It's not about keeping guns away from the mentally violent and so on like that. But the article is about veterans who have not really been declared incompetent, but someone else has to handle their finances for whatever reason. And the government is saying, well, they're not allowed to have handguns. Naturally, the NRA and the Republicans are up in arms, so to speak, over all of that.
Well, you know, it just, not seeing that whole article, it's hard to comment on it, but it seems like some kind of standard for mental competency to own a handgun might be reasonable as far as common sense gun legislation, gun control legislation or something like that. So I don't know. You know, we got to get together on some of this stuff someday, and we'll see.
I think so. And, you know, one of the solutions, we've talked about it many times, but one of the solutions may be just be a little bit more nice to everybody all the time, from the time that you know, we have kids in preschool, and just keep it going. A little more niceness around the area.
Rick, we've talked about the opioid problem quite a bit on this website over the years, and I know there's some, I think you had a little note up on that, and I just wanted to let folks know I just completed a conversation with four doctors out of Lynn Community Health that we'll be posting those dialogues in a little while, I mean, in the next few days or so. And there's some interesting things going on. I mean, these are some very talented people doing some very hard work and kind of working on the issue, and it's a little bit different perspective than some of the stuff that has been out there. Clearly, there's a ton of news about this issue, but you mentioned about you mentioned about one of the things where people are not getting along, such in Washington, but in Massachusetts, the opioid issue is one area where apparently people are getting along, and so that's good news that they are getting along on that front. I just had a beep in here for a second, but I think I'm good here. So, anyways, yep. We'll follow up with that issue.
That's all good, Bill. It's all good, but it's not all good, if I could say it that way. There is some resistance in the law community, a law enforcement community. There is some resistance to the ANGEL program and how it is being implemented. And I think maybe we can get to that on another day. But not everyone is 100% on board with the way this thing is being implemented, at least from a law enforcement standpoint. I'm sure from the medical view, everybody is on board with that.
Well, it's interesting to hear from these guys, the four doctors, all coming at it with a different perspective or a different role, let me put it that way, and trying to help people that have addictions. And, basically what has happened is we've made a major shift from making it a police issue and a court issue to a medical issue. And so that transition, I don't know what other steps have to happen for the legal community or whatever. But anyways, it is clearly a different approach than we had taken for a number of years. And I know it's been discussed on the presidential campaign. It's been discussed at the State House and so on. But a lot of good work we knock our politicians a lot, but a lot of good work has been done. Whether you totally agree with every little dotted I and cross T on the legislation or not, but clearly they have been moving in a different direction, and hopefully it works.
And so far, in the first 11 months of the ANGEL program, over 400 people have been treated and have come in and surrendered. Well, I don't know that all of them have surrendered illegal drugs, but many of them have surrendered illegal drugs. And some of them are doing very, very well. I don't know the exact stats, but there has been overall, in terms of the ANGEL program, some really good numbers coming in so far. And, the jury's still out on that. But there was one negative article I know in the paper last week about a woman who was in the paper a couple of weeks before that. And, you can't save them all. It's like in teaching, Bill. You can't save them all.
No, and I think that's I haven't really seen that happen where people point out, hey, well, that guy did this or did that, but you do catch a news story about that once in a while. But one of the things here is that you have, for example, in Lynn, from January to now, there have been 19 opioid deaths so far this year in Lynn alone. And on top of that, then you look at the addiction issue on top of that. And that might be 20 times more than the deaths, the serious addiction issues or the overdose issues. Let me put it that way. Not the addiction, the actual overdose issues themselves. These guys have the stats. They have the and we'll be hearing from them in the days to come here. But that kind of ramps up and tells you what the kind of program we have.
I've got a quick story. We had the medicine turn-in day, for old prescriptions. You could turn them in to it was the Rose Baker Center had the I don't know who it was, but it was the legal, the medical community was there. I had them in different areas around the North Shore this past weekend, so they could collect. How you have prescriptions sitting in your medicine cabinet, and you don't want to pour them down the toilet because that gets into the ground and pollutes. So anyway, we had this prescription giveaway or take in day.
Yep.
Disposal. Let me get the right word. Disposal day. And so I was going through our medicine cabinet, and as you know, I've had several abdominal surgeries, and I've had numerous kidney stone attacks. I had 20 in 10 years, 20 visits to the emergency room. And the way to take care of a kidney stone attack is through pain control and pain management. So I looked through all this stuff, and I'm looking at the expiration date. You got 2009, 2008. So I'm putting these in a bag to take over there. And I looked at two of them. I had prescription bottles full of painkillers, and I looked at them. One was Percodan, maybe?
Percocet, right?
And there was a prescription in there for 20 of them, and there were 20 of the pills in there. And then I looked. I had another one called Oxycondone.
Oh, my gosh.
And I looked in there, and I had 20 pills from 2009. There were 20 pills in there, and my prescription was for 20. So I'm looking at that saying, why in God's name did anybody give me so much of that painkiller, and I never even used them? You know what I mean? I got by on over-the-counter ibuprofen. So, and I remember that. I remember not using those painkillers, but I didn't know what the hell they were.
No, I bet there are. And just think of that. That's your story. And how many other people have a similar kind of story, to be honest with you, you know, on that. And then, so that's a major problem. I haven't heard, we posted a couple of stories of the various police departments were doing that. Lynn did it. Beverly did it. I'm thinking that Danvers did it. I'm thinking a lot of the police departments did that on Saturday this past weekend, and good for them. And hopefully it worked out. But I wonder, what kind of response they got, and so on. I don't really have too much I would have brought there, to be honest with you. I'm still taking my medicine. Still taking my it's not prescription.
Well, you know, I have a kidney stone pain management first aid kit that I have to take with me when I go on a plane or if I go up skiing or whatever. So I have a couple of emergency items with me, but they're not any that are in the news or popular. It's sort of just like ibuprofen, but the other stuff after surgeries and stuff, you're given this, and I just wonder why I was prescribed so many of those pills and I never even used them.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe if people come and hang out with you, then those are the people that need to have the pain medication dealing with you, Rick. You know what I'm saying?
In more ways than one, yeah. But I think a good stiff drink might help them more than the pain medicine.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, we got that, and so that's always something. And politically today, again, it's the Indiana primary. We talked about that, and make or break for It's break for everybody other than Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I guess, no matter what happens. I understand that Ted Cruz is still campaigning hard during the day Tuesday in Indiana while Hillary Clinton has left. We'll see what happens. I guess there is a little suspense as to who wins in Indiana on the Democratic side. And also then polls are showing Donald Trump big up in Indiana. And then the buzz now is that unless there's a huge Cruz win in Indiana tonight, then it's Trump all the way to the convention, and that appears to be that's what's going to happen. So it's coming down. It's getting clearer, and we'll know a lot more, I guess, later tonight. So polls close 7 p.m. Eastern time from Indiana. All right, Rick, I think that probably about do it, and we'll be following some sports stories during the day and putting some posts up overnight and so on, so we'll keep folks posted on that as well. Anything else from you?
No, that's good. I think there will be quite a few games in today on Tuesday, even though the weather is a little damp, but going to be kind of like this for the whole week. Doesn't look like we're going to get really great weather till probably next week.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell, and this is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.